My name is Jesus Tutunji, and she's my wife, Carolina Rykochenko. We have three kids. Lucas, the baby, 4 years old. Jesus, my son, 11. And Carolina, 16 years old.
So for us, legacy is something that will go through generations, and there is something that you can be part of. Like, you can do something about it to show future generation through your kids, through your family, to your friends. So it's something that you can do, and you are responsible to leave something for someone else.
We have been in a spiritual journal pretty much since we met each other. And the most important part is that knowing that we have someone that is taking care of us. Most of the time we have been naming in different ways, but knowing now in this portion of our life that God is with us and He's seeing us as their sons, we feel like that is the legacy that we want to share with our kids. And we try to explain then how our testimony are part of their life, and how we, as our parents, with our experience, they can use it and they can learn how to improve in their next generation.
I think that one of the difficulties that we have as a family is trying to show everybody what we are living and what we are experiencing. And we want them to know what is experience, but everybody has a journey. Like, for example, for our kids, we want them to know the experience that we have in the church during the service and everything, but they have their own experience that we need to respect. So I think for us as a parent is one of the difficulties that we find, because they are already teenagers, so they can make their own decisions. But we are responsible to place them in the right place. Like, and we know that the city shore, the activities that we have here, is a great place for them to experience that by their own.
Yeah, and one of the challenge is knowing that there's a lot of information that they are receiving from external parts that we cannot really avoid, or we cannot really deny. It's more like we need to debate and integrate that information and show them, okay, that's something that is real, but also we have this has a real situation, has our faith in God.
The first day that we enter and we face that big phrase in the enter, the best is yet to come. So it was like a miracle for us, because we really needed in that time. And when we enter and we feel the presence of God, all the people smiling, saying welcome, like we thought we are in the right place. Like the City Church is our home now. So we love you, City Church. All the people that we have been meeting here have been a blessing in our life all the time. Every Sunday, like, is the best day of the week. And we are always wanted to come and see our friends. Let's move close to Jesus.
Amen.
Bye.
I want to thank Jesus and Carolina for sharing their story. Do you know what the anglicized version of Jesus is? Jesus. We interviewed Jesus for our legacy series. You know, we go big here at the City Church. At the end of the service today, we're going to be receiving communion together as a church family. We are kicking off our legacy series right now, and we do this every year at the church. We've been doing it for a few years. It's an important series for us. It reminds us that we didn't just start now, that the church was actually started 2,000 years ago, and we stand on the shoulders of many faithful men and women who have gone before us throughout the centuries and millennia, so that we can actually be here today and be worshiping Jesus and know God for ourselves. And so this legacy that we have as a church, we actually want to perpetuate it, obviously going into the future. So thank God for all of those men and women. Thank God for my parents, you know, who pastored this church for 20 years before Nicole and I have been pastoring the last 15 years. Thank God for all of the faithful pastors that have gone leading churches. And thank God for all of the faithful pastors, men and women in the future that are going to be leading churches. So what we're wanting to do in this series, be thankful for the past, but be excited about the future, but then ask ourselves the question, are we creating a legacy? Because we should be. This is something that we would see in the church, the history of the church, that we want to transmit something to the future. The word legacy just means something transmitted or received from an ancestor or a predecessor from the past. So the big question for us in this series is, what are we leaving behind? As we are followers of Jesus today, it's important for us to be investing in the next generation, investing in the church of the future, realizing that our foundation is on Jesus and the apostles of the Lamb, who are faithful witnesses. And we can track our lineage, just like every church, every godly church here in the city of Mississauga and the GTA region, which there's many great churches in the area, all the way back to the book of Acts, all the way back to the birthplace of the church, that the church has continued again for centuries and millennia so that we can be here today. But we want to leave a legacy. So when we think about leaving a legacy, partially it's kind of really easy to answer the question that we should be training ourselves to respond to life in faith. Because life is going to be happening a bunch of different ways. There's going to be a lot of situations and circumstances, and we could just react to those things, right? Do I have any reactors in the room? That we could just be angry, or we can react emotionally, or just something happens and we're just, But instead of just giving into the reactions of our flesh, we should be training ourselves to respond in faith. That we have put our faith in Christ. And again, ultimately, this is what the church does, decade after decade, century after century, that we put our faith in Christ. And this can be the thing that goes forward as a church. And so we can't control what happens to us a lot of times with the decisions that we're making, because there's going to be circumstances beyond our control. But again, what we can control is how we respond. And responding in faith with a certain set of values, with a certain set of beliefs. And those are the things that can be perpetuated throughout generations. So what does it look like as a follower of Jesus, as we create a legacy, that we can create a legacy of faith? Faith in a good God, that we can create a legacy of love. We can be a hope-filled church. We can be the type of church that rejoices with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And that is what family and church is all about, that there's going to be different times in our church life where people, you're going to be experiencing the birth of a baby, a promotion, all of these celebrations of life. And then in our same family on a given Sunday, somebody could be mourning the loss of a loved one. And all of these things will go on. And so we want to be that type of church that rejoices and grieves together. We want to be servant-minded. These are things that can be perpetuated throughout generations. We want to be steady and consistent, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And then one of the other values that we want to talk about is generosity. And God is a generous God, as Michael talked about in the offering talk there. And then we have a legacy of generosity with my parents, who were very generous as pastors and leaders, and then generous as parents, as I can testify. And the reason that they're generous, it didn't just start with them, but this is a quality of God. And so this is something that we want to emphasize through our legacy series. And then one of the things that we do in conjunction with our legacy series is that we receive a legacy offering that will accomplish different things in different years. And again, this legacy offering is for people who call the City Church home. If you're visiting with us today, you're kind of checking us out still, this isn't for you. But for those of you that call the City Church home, this is one of the things that we like to tackle every year, just certain things that we're doing as a church. Now, last year, just to report, our goal was, I mentioned that our tenant was not using as much space post-COVID, and so they wanted to give back some space to us, so we gladly said yes. And then so last year we received $80,000 for our legacy offering to be able to renovate a room right behind this wall. Somebody might ask the question, which some of you have, why don't we just make the auditorium bigger, Pastor Brent? We have less services. We can't. We have actually reached our maximum seats that we're allowed to have on this property and related the ratio of parking spaces that we have. So otherwise, this would have been a great idea. So what we did, though, is we renovated a room that we're going to use for multiple purposes. The door is actually going to be open after the service. You're going to be able to see the results of your generosity that we renovated that room. And then not only did we renovate one room, but because we were such good stewards this year, we actually renovated two rooms. So not just one room, but then we have another room on the other side of that that's going to be for our team. It's not necessarily secret. It's just behind a couple doors. You can see it sometime. The best way to see the team room is to be part of the city team. So we actually, again, we accomplished with our giving. We renovated two brand new rooms. You'll be able to see that as you're leaving the auditorium this morning. If you just look to the right there, the door will be open and you'll be able to see in. We are like 95% done in that room. The baseboard is actually getting installed this Tuesday. We don't want you to walk in there just yet. There's a lot of construction dust still in there, but you'll be able to see in. And then very soon you will be able to walk in. So this year with our legacy offering, we have a goal of $50,000. So modest. $50,000 compared to our $80,000 last year. And I just want to make mention of what this $50,000 is going to go towards. The first thing is we actually need a new heating and AC unit for servicing those two rooms. Our tenant didn't know that our tenant who's now left didn't know that the AC and heating unit wasn't working. I don't know. They didn't tell us. So anyway, when we started to do some renovations, they checked out that unit. And it was a 20-year-old unit. And it was going to cost $13,000 to renovate a 20-year-old unit. So instead, we thought we better just to invest in a brand new unit, which is only $20,000. So that's part of it. The second $20,000 is going to go towards our youth and young adults conference that we are hosting this fall. There's a lot of expenses. Yeah, it's going to be great. There's a lot of expenses related to that conference, and we want to keep the ticket prices low for youth and young adults. So it's going to be going towards some honorariums, and we're bringing in a worship team. And so all of those expenses for that. So $20,000 is going to go towards that. And then finally, the last $10,000 is going to go for some flooring in our City Kids area that needs to be addressed. We just want to keep our kids area updated, don't we? And looking nice. And a lot of you parents just insist in taking your coffee into the City Kids hallway and you spill it and we've cleaned it. And so we just need new flooring in there because of y'all, all right? So practically speaking, we have legacy offering envelopes that are just outside the main auditorium door. You can grab one as you leave today. And again, this is just for people that call City Church home. Prayerfully consider what you would give towards this offering. And we don't want to think about equal giving. We want to think about equal sacrifice. Again, all of us should sacrifice something to be able to give in this offering. Now, if you take that offering envelope home and you pray about it and you think zero, pray again, friends, all right? And if you're giving online, the spot where it says tithes and offerings, if you click that menu, Legacy Offering 2024 will show up so you can give electronically. Can I get an amen? All right, so let's jump into the scripture here, 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, who is a young pastor, and I love these verses. It talks about his own legacy from his family, but then also the legacy of faith that is given to Timothy, and we can read it specifically here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. It says, I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors. So Paul was a recipient of having ancestors who serve God. And thank God that's something that I have in my life. My parents, obviously, followers of Jesus. My grandparents on both sides were followers of Jesus. And if you don't have the benefit of that and you were a follower of Jesus, man, you get to start a legacy with you. If your parents didn't serve God, you can have generations that follow you that will say yes to Jesus because of your faith in God. He says this, continues, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day, as I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, he says to Timothy, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you. So here is three generations of faith. Lois, Eunice, and Timothy, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is something that we see is God's desire that faith in God shouldn't just stop with one generation. It should be the care and concern of people who have put their faith in God, put their faith in Christ, that that faith continues, that we would be discipling the next generation, be interested in the next generation. He says, I'm sure this faith as it dwells in you. For this reason, I reminded to fan in the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So we need the Loises and the Eunices and the Timothy. We need grandparents and parents and children. Now, I'm still in that category of Timothy. I'm still a young man because I don't have any grandchildren yet. But I mean, within this next 10 years... right? Without putting pressure on anybody. I mean, there's one marriage on the horizon, another one to be happening at some point in the future. So I'm not putting pressure on these girls. I'm just saying, sometime in the next 10 years, logic would dictate that I'm moving into the second category, this other category. But this is what's great about the City Church, is that we have Eunices and Loises and Timothy. We have this multiplicity of generations. This is what God is interested in. God is interested in a legacy of faith that's handed down from generation to generation. So as we continue to live out this life of faith, what does it look like? How does it manifest? How does it show up in our lives, practically speaking? So we're going to see a couple elements of faith that we're going to emphasize today before we receive communion. And we'll see it here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. It says this. To me, though I am the very least of all saints, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, everybody say through the church. So this is something that's going to come through the church. What is the church? It's the called out ones. It's the gathering. It's the group. It's the family of God. And so this is not something we're supposed to do alone. This is something that's going to come through the church. The manifold wisdom of God that is now being made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose of God that he realized in Christ Jesus, our Savior. So what is this thing that's going to be made known through the church? Number one here in verse 12, in whom, we talked a lot about that last series, we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is a quality of our faith that we should leave a legacy with, that we have access to God boldly through Christ. And this is something that we should be living out, that we have access to God. It's not a fight for us to get our prayers to God, that we have access to God in Christ through him. And we should do this boldly. We have bold access, right? We should come to the throne of grace. And we're going to read these verses here in a second. So here's number one, we're going to have this bold faith. Number two, verse 13. So I ask you to not lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. So what was Paul suffering? He was in prison as he was writing this epistle, this letter to the church. What does he say? That you would not lose heart. In other words, don't give up. And the opposite of that is to be courageous. So we're going to talk about having faith today and then being courageous, bold with our faith, because these are the things that are going to be made known through the church. We have this wonderful access to God. Psalm 46, verse 1 says this. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge. He's the place that we can go always. And what is he? He is our strength, a very present help in trouble. And see, this is why we need to be bold with our faith, because God is always present to help us when we need help. And in a time of trouble, instead of reacting in our flesh and our emotions and in our anger, we should respond in faith, knowing that he is a very present help in a time of trouble. He's not causing the trouble, but he wants to help you in the trouble. He wants to help you through the trouble. He wants to help you to the other side. Thank God for that. So this is why we can put faith in him, and this is why we have bold access, and this is how we should be living our lives. Verse 2, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved, and the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. Now that word Selah, just, it's actually, the psalmist is writing, and that word just means stop and think about this for a second. Consider what I'm saying. Pause for a second. Here's some really bad circumstances. Here's a really difficult situation. The metaphor is like all of these things are going on, and there's a bunch of things going on in our world. But here, all of these things are going to be true. But then verse 4 says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. In the midst of that situation, in the midst of the turmoil of the world, there's a river whose make streams glad the city of God. The holy habitations, that's you and I. God doesn't live in a building. He lives in people by his spirit. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Here, how did we get this faith? Well, we got it from a legacy from Jacob, who put his faith in God. And then again, it says the end, Selah. Think about this. What are we supposed to think about? Here's all of these things going on. The kingdoms of the world are tottering. But what about us? God is with us. We should have bold faith. We shouldn't be the nervous ones, the anxious ones, the ones who are fearful, the ones who are overreacting. We should respond as though we have faith in God, because we have faith in God. And God is with us all of the time, and he's a very present help. Don't we need God's help? Man, we do all of the time, every day. But thank God, he is a very present help in time of trouble. That means God is active to help us. How is he doing this? By his spirit on the inside of us. He's strengthening us. He's giving us his wisdom. He's giving us his grace. He's giving us what we need at the right time. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says this, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. I love that verse. What does it mean? Jesus gets it. Jesus lived in the flesh on the earth. He understands the difficulties of temptation. Yet the scripture says, yet without sin. So he can empathize with our situation. He can empathize with our flesh and the reactions of who we are as we face temptation. He understands. He's the great high priest. The verse, the phrases continue, says this. Verse 16, let us then with confidence. Everybody say confidence. With faith, we are supposed to go to God, not sheepishly. Not, okay, God, I'll crawl up these stairs on my knees and I'll whip my back on the way. No, with confidence. Because Jesus has done something for us. He has accomplished something for us. This is the legacy that's supposed to be left from the church. With confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So in a time of need, instead of reacting, let's train ourselves to respond in faith, that we know that God will help us, that he is a very present help in a time of trouble. Now, we know what it's like when we move into a time of trouble. In that moment, we kind of like, I don't know what to do, but don't let your sentence stop there. I don't know what to do, but God does. and I have bold access. I can come to the throne of grace to find grace and mercy to help in time of need. And he is present to help us. He doesn't leave us alone. He can give us his grace for that moment, the thing that we need. Amen. This is how we train ourselves to respond in faith, a legacy that we can leave to somebody else. So let's not lose heart. Let's not give up. We can have bold access to God. So the second thing here that we read there, do not lose heart. In other words, it's just easy sometimes when we're facing a bunch of things. We're going through something. We could just go, and get despondent. We can get discouraged. But because we have faith in God, this should not be said of us. That we're not going to lose heart. That we are actually going to be courageous. That we're going to be steadfast. That we're not going to be quitters. There's no quitters in this room, right? Come on now. You got to sleep in? This is a 10:15 service. There's no quitters in this room, right? Man, and it's not because we're just not quitters. No, we have God helping us. This is why we don't give up. This is why we don't lose heart. Because we have bold access to the throne room of God. James chapter 1, verse 12 says this, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, not giving up. What does it say about this person? It's a blessing not to give up. But you'll be tempted to give up and quit and react and overreact. But instead, what are we going to do? We're going to remain steadfast. We're going to be the faithful ones. We're the ones that are going to put our faith in God until the end. Amen? Listen, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God promised to those who love him. Now, this verse 13 is really important. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted of God, quote unquote. For God cannot be tempted with evil, for he himself tempts no one. God is not bringing evil to your life. The scripture is clear. The New Testament scripture is so clear on this. God is not bringing evil into your life to then help you out of it. Scripture says, let no man say, when I'm being tempted, tested, that this is happening. God, no, God is helping me. We live in a calamitous world. We live in a world where the devil is active. The devil is bad. God is good. Scripture tells us in John chapter 10, anything that steals, kills, or destroys your life, all of these things come from the enemy. They don't come from God. God is a very present help in time of trouble. I can always grow to the throne of grace to find grace and mercy to help and to know that God is not causing this difficulty in my life. Can I get an amen? Such an important thing to think about, because if you think God is hurting you, why would you go to him for help? Let's be logical this morning. If you think God is making you sick, don't go to the doctor. Anybody out there this morning? God is not bringing evil to our lives, but he is a very present help in time of trouble. So let's not lose heart. Let's don't give up. Let's be the different ones. The different ones who have faith in God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says this, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So what are we supposed to do? Be steadfast, immovable, right? We're not doing this on our own. God is helping us to do this. We can go to the throne of grace for help. Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, doing things for God. Because labor for God is never in vain. Are you here this morning? See, and we're not looking at what other people might do. This is what God wants us to do. You know, my parents are 85 and 84, and they've lived a faithful life to each other. They've been faithful to church, faithful pastors. But if at this season of their lives, my parents were just like, to heck with it all, we're going to Vegas. My faith is not in my parents. God has called me to be steadfast and immovable. Amen. You know, it grinds my gears when I hear people say, you know, when somebody fails in the body of Christ, whether it's a famous person or somebody that they know is like, oh, that rocked my faith. I'm like, what? Was your faith in that fallible person? Your faith is not supposed to be in people. Your faith is in Jesus. This is why we can be steadfast and immovable. Our faith is not in the perfection of our brothers and sisters. Our brothers and sisters are just like you, prone to sin. Don't put your faith in them. My parents are going to make it, right? They're going to do it. I mean, they can't even fly, so they're fine. All right, a couple more verses before we receive communion today. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Paul, here at the end of Ephesians, says this, finally, be strong in the Lord. I love this call. I love the command. I love the heart of it. This is a legacy we can leave. As followers of Jesus, what are we going to do? We're going to be strong in the Lord. Be strong. Not be weak. Not be prone to quitting. Prone to giving up. No, be strong in the Lord. And in the strength of his might, I don't have to do it on my own. I can receive his grace to live this life. Not just my strength, not what I can muster up in myself. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Man, let's put our faith in him. God knows. God helps. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. You're not standing against the schemes of God. God is not scheming against you, right? We're resisting the schemes of the enemy. Let's just read the scripture. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand firm. Stand, therefore. Take a stand for your faith in God. I love this. Having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and your shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given of the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. God is not sending evil darts against your life. Who are they coming from? The evil one. Take off the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, prayer and all supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all saints. Now here's a set of values and beliefs and ideals that if you live out, you will create a legacy for somebody else. What is it? Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, prayer. All of the things just mentioned in that portion of scripture that we just read. All of that creates a legacy. And finally this. Humble yourselves, therefore, 1 Peter 5, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Do you have an anxious heart in here today? God wants to help you with this. What are we supposed to do? Cast all of these anxieties on God. Why? Because he cares for you. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Verse 8, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion to seek someone to devour. So who's your adversary? The enemy. God is not your adversary. The devil is your adversary. Verse 9, resist him firm in your faith. What are we supposed to do? Resist. Push back. Why? Because we have bold faith in God. That we have access to the power of God, not because of our own goodness, because of the finished work on the cross of Jesus Christ. That we can boldly go to the throne of grace. Yeah. Amen. That we can boldly cast our cares, our anxious heart on him because he cares for me. I resist these things coming against my life. I have bold faith. I have the power of God helping me. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. In other words, the stuff you're facing is what people face. There's difficulties that we're going to face because we're human beings. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's receive communion together today. If you're in a row, you can see seat pocket in front of you. If you're on the front row, it's by the leg of your chair. If you are a follower of Jesus, we invite you to receive communion with us today. You don't have to feel pressured to, though, in any way. Just the instruction, the top cellophane piece, if you just open up and grab that wafer, just hold it in your hand. I'm just going to read you a scripture this morning. The reason we do this, this is why the part of the legacy of the church is that we see Jesus took the Passover and he instituted what we call communion of the Lord's table. Something for us to do to remind ourselves about Jesus. It's a physical thing that tells us a spiritual story. Read it here in Luke 22, verse 19. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So as we hold this today, we are supposed to be reminded of who Jesus is and what he has done. Scripture tells us in Isaiah 53, that by his stripes, we are healed. On Jesus' body, before he went to the cross, he received the whipping and the scourging. And blood came through his skin, and that's the stripes that's being discussed in the scripture. In other words, Jesus' body was broken so that ours could be healed. And when we know Jesus, when he walked the earth, he was famous for healing, physical healing. So we are supposed to be reminded today about Jesus, who he is, and what he's done. So let's just pray today. God, we thank you today for Jesus, that he took stripes on his back so our bodies could be healed. So we just open ourselves up wide, Lord, to your healing power today. From the top of our head to the soles of our feet, that your power is greater than any sickness and disease or pain. That we don't have to be afraid of your spirit today. We thank you, Lord, that you are our healer. And God, we just pray, Lord, for anyone in here today who's suffering from a broken heart, hurt emotions, betrayed emotions, broken relationship. God, you said that you would bind up the brokenhearted. So we thank you, Lord, that you are healing hearts today. We remember you today, Jesus, that you are our healer. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's eat together. You can open up the bottom portion. Verse 20 says, "And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." This brand new covenant, the scripture says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. The reason that we are righteous today is because of what Jesus has accomplished, that his shed blood washes away our sin. That means our lives are not defined by our sin. They're defined by the righteousness of God that we receive. So that when we sin, when we mess up, we never run away from God, that we always run to God and ask for forgiveness and mercy and grace. And this is who he is. So let's just pray today. God, we thank you for forgiveness today, that you wash away our sin, that you wash away our past, that our lives are no longer defined by the sins we've committed, but they are defined by your righteousness that you have given to us. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy today. We receive forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's drink together. Before we are dismissed this morning, if you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to pray a prayer here in a second, and this prayer is just a starting point in your relationship with God. The gospel, the good news, is all about Jesus, as we talked about today, and what he's accomplished for us. Jesus came, lived a sinless life, died on the cross. God raised him from the dead. And because all of that has happened, God just offers to us a relationship with himself. It's called righteousness, right standing with God. And all we have to do is say yes today. So if that's you this morning, I invite you to pray along with me. Or maybe you're here this morning and used to be in a relationship with God, and today maybe you feel distant from God. Maybe something happened. You know, God has not mad at you today. God is inviting you close to himself again. I invite you to pray along with me as well. So church, let's bow our head and close our eyes, and let's pray this prayer out loud, praying with somebody who might be praying it for the first time, or somebody rededicating their life to Christ. God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he lived a sinless life. He died on the cross, and you raised him from the dead so I could know you. So today I say yes to your righteousness. I say yes to a relationship with you. God, I call you my Father. Jesus, I call you my Lord. God, I purpose to follow after your ways, and I turn from my own. I thank you for salvation today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Can we celebrate with everyone who made that decision today? Come on, you can do better than that. Let's celebrate those who have decided to follow Jesus. And hey, if that is you today, friend, I just want to invite you. Do not leave this place without telling someone about the best decision of your life. So you can take the Connect card that's in the seat pocket right in front of you. Mark off the box that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And bring that over to the info desk just over there in the lobby. And we have a team of people who will just be so excited to see you and just give you some free resource as you start your new journey of faith. As well, if you're new or newer to City, and you want to get plugged into the heart of our church, you can bring that same Connect card, bring it over to the info team, and we would just love to meet you. Just a couple of announcements before we head out today. Tonight, everybody say with me, tonight. Tonight we have our young adult service happening just upstairs in our lounge. So if you are between the ages of 18 to 35, trust me, you do not want to miss it. We're just going to gather together for some fellowship, for some great discussion, extended worship. It's going to be absolutely amazing. So make sure you invite your friends, your friends' friends, and all your friends. Does it sound good? As well as on your way out, you're going to see the legacy envelopes. Don't forget to grab those today and just be praying about that as we go into our weeks. Does that sound good? Are you happy you came to church today? Come on, would you look at somebody and tell them it is so good to see you today? Stand with me to your feet. At this time, I'd just love to invite the prayer team to come on down to the front. And if you were hoping for somebody to pray for you or with you today, I just want to encourage you, don't be shy. You can come down to the front. And we have a team of people who would just be so happy to pray with you for whatever you're believing for. Church, we love you. Be blessed. Have the most amazing day. And we will see you next week at 10:15 a.m. Be blessed. You are dismissed.